Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. It's good being with you today. I wanted to thank Laura, who called me back the other day, and she told me what it meant to her that I told her I appreciate. I said, I appreciate you. And she called me back and she goes, you're the second one that said that to me, but usually people say they appreciate it or that. So I appreciated that she gave me that feedback. I have a book. I haven't published yet. It's called Unscripted Power. But one of the chapters in that book is called Golden Feedback. And in Golden Feedback, what I'm talking about is that the feedback that we get, the golden feedback, it does shift our lives. It does allow us to bridge new worlds. And another way to say it, that golden feedback invokes us. It invokes and summons the part of us that's not counterfeit. You know, the part of us that if there's this alive place in us, and I've had many golden feedback moments. One of them, I was working with this guy in L.A. He had a foundation called the New Beginnings Foundation, Max Green. And he says, Glenn, if you ever need me, this is like almost 25 years ago. He says, if you ever need anything, call me day or night. Call me day or night. And I was going through a very, very tough cycle. And I called him like 3 a.m. And I remember when he answered the phone, he goes, I'm so appreciative that you took my offer. And I would say 80% of what was really challenging me left. He embraced that call. He embraced me in a very powerful way. So vibrancy, the currency of vibrancy is relational, right? So the more that we take those moments to really sense the exchange we're having and appreciate what's there, the more we get into what I call vibrant collaborations. I want to welcome Lisa LaRose, who I was just deeply appreciating the word appreciated that in chronological time, I've known Lisa over 18 years, and she's been there in a very deep way. I had the honor of working with her on an event and having her be my client. Now she's just a family member. Lisa LaRose, producer extraordinaire, trusted advisor. There you are.
Yeah, and I appreciate you as well. I, you know, really deeply honor the wisdom and all of the vibrant connections that you bring forth, and you know, the things that you challenge us all with and invoke and kind of invite us into interesting new explorations and welcoming our new team member, Dave Hughes, and, you know, excited to explore all of the nuances and the things that you bring forth as well. I hear that you are not just with Menla, but also that you all have lots of other interests that beyond, you know, the spiritual network. You're very interested in bringing forth new products, and I hear that something near and dear to my heart, some chocolate along the way. So I want to let the secret chocolate out of the bag. Yeah, so welcome to you as well.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful to be here. It's kind of a natural smile flowering from my heart right now. Everything in my life over the last 10 years has really unfolded the way it's supposed to. And yes, relationships are a huge part of that. It definitely resonates very strong for me. So I feel this is another one of those instances where it's natural, it's organic, and it's vibrant way that it's supposed to. So again, on the tagline of appreciation, that is definitely resonating deep with me. And yeah, so I'm just great to be here.
Yeah, wonderful having you, Nate. I also want to. I don't know if we got Ariel. Oh, we got Ariel on board right now. Ariel? No, Ariel. Ariel Bonberg, I call him. He's our New York producer. He's one of those people that I have an instant, a deep appreciation for. I had a client, a very unusual client, again, a guy named Robert J. Sterner. Robert J. Sterner. And I think I wrote the most audacious letter to this big TV show in Baltimore about Robert. I hadn't met him yet, but he really intrigued me. And he'd sent me a tape called Red Candlelight Thoughts, Red Candlelight Thoughts. And in the tape, he talked about at the end of every day, no matter what happened. And he gives an example of he, at one point in his life, he had went bankrupt and the sheriff was coming to collect his furniture. And he said that he somehow had this connection with the sheriff, and the sheriff didn't take his furniture. The sheriff gave him another 20 days or whatever. But he talked about having this gratitude, this appreciation for every event that day. And like someone held the door for him or just different things. And he was such a character, Robert. He told me anytime I wanted, I could call him. He used to hold these gratitude meetings. One of his visions was to get a Rolls Royce. And when he drove in his garage, literally he had all these pictures of a Rolls Royce, and he had these gratitude meetings by the beach in Carlsbad, California. And the point of his Red Candlelight Thoughts is he actually felt that gratitude the day that the sheriff visited him. He was already in gratitude that things would occur in his life beyond what he could see, beyond the appearance, beyond the appearance. He felt that gratitude. And so the vibrant, he was one of the people I would say that influenced me when I started to think about this notion of the Vibrant Living Challenge, which is a 3 month program or a 3 months experience of challenge. And the challenge, and the Sufi word for the challenge, I'm not 100% sure of the meaning. What the way it was told to me was is that a chela is dealing with a challenge, but it transforms in community and partnership and in team. So I got around people that really would bring that out of me and really see that. One of them was a guy named Kevin Foley. Kevin Foley, I went to his lecture. He was a local college professor. And I went to his class, and I remember I came back. I was in my early 20s. And he said to me, because I tell him I bring something back to the class, and he says, "Your word is as good as gold." And I was, no one had ever said that to me. I wasn't even clear about my word. And him saying that, I realized it just sort of really struck me. It sort of, impacted me. And so the Vibrant Living Challenge is it's a 3 month program where I ask people what's possible beyond possible. Get a book and start to ask different questions. And that was the question of the challenge: what's possible beyond possible? And have a vibrant vision to see that, in your day, to see what deeply, deeply moves you. And what I sort of discovered was that people function much better at 80% than 100%. That somehow we're supposed to, if you watch a tiger, you watch animals move, you see that their resting positions allow them to, they're free to move. They kind of give, even in a tree, a puma could move. And so this sense of like unloading or unwinding, or being underwhelmed is this really wonderful place to move from and breathe from. And so I ask people to kind of build that in their days during the Vibrant Living Challenge. And what we do is we have a vibrant partner, a vibrant vision partner,
yeah.
And the whole group's your partner. and you kind of participate with listening in a different way. You know, when I went through what I call my relational tsunami 7 years ago, it really, I got to reexamine everything. I mean, we go through these cycles, and as we sort of develop this new quality of listening, it kind of purifies us. It gives us this other sense. I was going to let you tell a story, Nate, about a time that you went to a vibrant vision, a time that everything in your mind and what was like, what was a moment in your life where you had to go deeper than what you knew? And how was that for you? A moment when you had to go to a vibrant vision that wasn't obvious to you. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I've had many of them, and I think I've shared some of them before, so I won't overdo some of the ones I've shared before. So how about a recent one? Because these things do keep coming up in our lives, right? We can't fool ourselves into thinking that we've reached a clear vision that's always going to be clear for us. What you say rings very true, that there is a place of going back and reflecting, giving ourselves some space to relax, to have that natural unfolding occur. When we constantly go through the day-to-day, the nuances of everything that we have to do is kind of like this task-driven work schedule that a lot of people follow. And they carry that throughout their process of their life. When they get home, they have to do A, B, C, and D. And then before they go to bed, they have to do this. When they wake up, they have to do that. It doesn't allow any time for reflection. It's a complete distraction. It's a complete hindrance to allowing us to really look inside ourselves to see what we really have to do. And we can really be doing something that's pure and that really aligns with us. But if we don't turn back in, we still can get into those ruts. And just last year, after working here at Menla for many years, I got to a point where I was really wondering what I was supposed to be doing. And so I got in my car and took a couple weeks off because I knew I needed that perspective. I knew that I was not going to answer the question through the same habitual thought patterns that I carry throughout my day from the geographical location that holds those patterns and reinforces those patterns in us. And I knew I needed just a new landscape to really reflect. And so I got down there and I sat on the beach and I meditated for day after day and just kind of let things come to me until it felt right intuitively and till everything resonated back within me. And what I realized was that there were some other things that I was supposed to be doing, but I was too focused 100% on my mental work and not giving myself some creative outflows, such as the chocolate business. That's where that really unfolded, was a beach meditation. Down in Florida. And what it did, though, was it lightened everything for me, and it said, no, you are doing what you're supposed to be doing at Menla. You just need to approach it a little more in a lighthearted fashion, and maybe you're being too forceful in trying to make things happen there, and maybe they're going to unfold in their own way, and you just need to support that unfolding as opposed to trying to push your own vision on things. And so I came back with that mindset, and I came back with that creative flow to start Abejitas, the chocolate business, because that resonated with me on another level of creating a product, because I'm very entrepreneurial, and allowed me to do a product that supports some of the social visions that I want to support, which is sustainable farming, saving the bee population. And on top of that, creating a healthy product that aligns with the spiritual world, a product that is known for its medicinal properties, that's known for its ritualistic properties. It all tied into what I was doing here, because I'm still in that world, and that's where that chocolate's going to be sold, is within this retreat world and people that circle in and out of that spiritual world. And it really is just about coming back and having that time to reflect. And we can probably tie this into relations as well, because I had a lot of really close friends in my life that when I said, hey, this is what I'm thinking, they all reflected back to me, this is absolutely right. This is absolutely you. This is what you need to move forward.
That's really beautiful. I think it becomes almost like your soul's calling, mate. that you kind of tune into the wisdom and you pay attention to what that is. And when you don't feel you're pursuing something that really moves you, I think exactly that, you start to feel empty and you don't know where it is, and you try to fill it other ways. So it's for you to be able to take that time to distance yourself and center yourself and really tune in to your own inner wisdom. That's really beautiful. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course. And I think it's an important perspective that we have to keep telling ourselves over and over, because we do take it for granted how important it is to reflect, because sometimes we really think we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we are, right? But maybe we just have to shift a little bit in how we're approaching what we're doing to make it feel more vibrationally correct with us.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And you know, I was really blessed, and I just want to take a moment to appreciate and thank the Awaken Empowered Expo and the Flower of Life Institute that hosted me last weekend. And it was a gathering of individuals that, you know, through you know, whether or not they were in marketing before, they kind of rediscovered their soul's calling and found different ways that they could communicate, you know, how to make this world a little bit better place by doing their part. It was really nice to be able to explore and to listen to the shared wisdom in a different environment. You know, I had never been to Detroit itself before, other than just in the airport, and you know, to touch in with a lot of individuals that did have incredible messages that they felt compelled and guided to share. It was really nice, and you know, I saw Detroit from not what my perceptions were of what you think that it is, but some other really important nuances and some very, very interesting things along the way. And so I just want to again acknowledge Ethan Fox and Michaela Sheldon for their warm welcome, and for all of the people that I met while I was there. It was a nice, nice discovery, and I'm sure.
Stay,
we
stay with us. Stay with us for more vibrant living. Stay with us for more vibrant living. Gonna talk to you guys about a film that I'm working on, and all the announcement, and talk to you about a principle of revisioning, and a revisioning could really turn your life around, make new connections. If you like Precious, enjoy it. We'll continue with you in a moment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor, Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. Vibrant Living Network. You know, one of my mantras, one of the things I share with people, along with Nate News, Lisa LaRose, the Vibrant Living team's with you right now. I don't know if Ariel has arrived yet. Ariel Bonberg.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, because I told you when you come, you got to blow a horn or something. I got to know you're here. It's a significant moment, you know.
We need an air horn.
I know. What happened with me is when I arrived in the classroom, I knew it was time to take a nap. And then one day I went to the bookstore and I realized, oh, I'd rather be reading these books. So I brought my books I got from the bookstore, but the bookstore became, you know, sort of my thing. And then I would contact authors and people, and I had these miraculous meetings. Like in New York City, and she's still around. I met a fashion model, Tony DeMarco. And she wrote a book called The California Way to Natural Beauty. She told me that her cosmetics were, you know, hurting her. So I went to her apartment in New York. And the first seminar I ever put together was her seminar. It was in her little apartment in New York. And I was looking through her stuff, and she had these newspaper clippings. And the newspaper clippings were things that were going to happen next year in her life. So she kind of had these kind of vision broadcasting posters and newspaper clippings. So when you arrive, it's a big deal. I'm really happy you're here. So I was just going to say that I got trapped a little bit the last few days. I had a technology glitch where I somehow blocked someone very close to me. I didn't block it myself, but my phone wouldn't allow their phone number. And I felt really sad about this. I felt like, what happened? Because I say to people that assumptions and conclusions are the poison of relationship. Assumptions and conclusions. Mm-hmm. And so last night about midnight or 1 a.m, I had an amazing conversation with her. And I was so happy to see that. There was two things that happened in that conversation. One is I realized how our separate realities that we assume or we live from gets in the way, right? Our separate realities. And then also to be able to share how our monkey minds trick us, you know, because one of the things that I notice is that, or that I'm really into, is that we could actually, if we practice it, we could actually kind of tune into each other in a way that's bigger than our local mind. And at the same time, I had the glitch. It was very humbling to kind of, you know, realize that the technology and how it's gotten into our lives, it's so subtle and it's so profound. We kind of rely on it and we take things personally. And I didn't realize the impact that I had on this person, who I really treasure. So when I wanted to get into and explore this with the whole team here and you, I wanted to talk about the revisioning principle. I want to get into what revisioning is. And sort of being in a place where I had no solutions. I've been sort of one of the pioneers in the field of life coaching, and I spent 7 days with a psychiatrist that was, I thought was astounding. He traveled the world. His name's Robert Shaw. He traveled the world, and his main interest was, who are these people that produce mastery? What is mastery and how is it produced? And in my own way, I was wondering that too. I wondered, why is it that certain people go someplace? It could be a teacher, could be an architect, a surveyor. Like, what is it about certain people that when you get around them, where they come from, their presuppositions, the things they presuppose, the way that they believe, the way they are, impacts you so deeply. And I kept sort of noticing that in my life. And I heard about the psychiatrist, And I couldn't go, since on level, I couldn't do the course because I wasn't a lawyer or a medical doctor. But I met with these people, and they invited me to be on the team. So all of a sudden, I was on the team, and we started out with that question, what's possible beyond possible? And, you know, for 7 days, we kind of looked at and explored how this presupposition, how this impacts our lives, you know, with the therapists in the room, you know, based on insurance and other factors, and the manual for diagnostics, you kind of look at mental health with this, in this very, well, kind of rigid, linear way. So the people that Bob discovered around the world, they had this another whole criteria. And so that really began to shape me, and I began to see coaching clients. And I remember this one client came to me. His name was Richard Wampeldorf. And he would always leave early. The first time he left early, I thought, wow, that must have been a really bad session. But he went on to teach me that value is bigger than time. That value is something that gets kind of designed or created. And you could also relate this to presence. I sometimes call it relational presence. And I have the deep, deep honor of working with people who want to be inspirational and vibrant speakers, and how we impact with people, and to watch this, you know, this thing about the presuppositions, you know, like you get around certain cultures, you know, you take the world of relationships and dating, and there's a lot of thought viruses in that world. A lot of thought viruses, a lot of caution. And funny enough, it's big in even in the people in the spiritual community. So I'm going to get into the principle of revisioning, and I want to get, you know, your comments. And so about 7 or 8 years ago, approximately, that's probably, you know, about 8 years ago, I took my wife barefoot hiking at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. And I was doing a series in Atlanta on the healing power of fats, fats that heal, fats that kill. And I realized that this is something I want to share with you. We're talking about appreciation. Sometimes we forget that these moments we share with people are so profound and so alive, right? They're just, there's these kind of luscious moments. And sometimes our linear brain just goes on about something else. But really, these relational moments we have with people are so harmonizing, awakening, vitalizing, that really the people around us really share this experience of vital rhythmic pulsations, right? Vital rhythmic pulsations, because that's what your cells function on. So, you know, we came back from the Omega Institute, and Donna had gotten ill in a way. And I did a video on this called Her Beautiful Face, where I talk about how to make a difference when someone's around you when they have an illness, or an illness that's considered, you know, very severe. And because I kind of discovered another path of love with Donna that I had never seen before when this happened. So I didn't tell you what happened. But what happened was we'd come back, and probably like 6 weeks later, she started to have she didn't feel good. And no one seemed to know why. And the local doctor, who I actually liked a lot, he was a Buddhist, Charles Brummer. And he explained to me one day that these things happen all the time. He's kind of telling me that she got maybe a scrape from a razor, and that caused this skin infection. And so I thought, oh, okay, this is going to resolve. But it didn't. What happened was she kept getting sick, more sick. And one day I woke up, and her face was frozen. It was the weirdest thing. I thought, like, something happened to my eyes. But in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this thing that was happening with Donna, it really, really put me in touch with the deep love I felt for her in ways I could never articulate. So if you're going through a crisis, and it's really, you're riveted on that, as you're moving through it, you know, in some ways there's the sky and the clouds in the sky, and the sky is really this bigger way of being in touch with these moments we have, you know, like just these little moments when we get up from the table, just the fact we're moving and breathing, like these little things. So this was the beginning of something that would go on to totally change my life forever. So what I did when he finally, I didn't really know what Lyme disease was 8.5 years ago. I barely understood it. You know, I had a wave. It wasn't, you know, I heard about West Nile disease. I'd been around, of course, I'm around all these people who are producing mastery experiences around health and well-being. And beyond that, beyond just a survival level, they were really getting people in touch with vitality, you know, vitalness, right? If we go to a class and the whole class is about going beyond survival, and this is what I want you guys to consider this next month. I'm going to give you a little assignment. When you listen to people, listen to where they're coming from is basically survival in their language. You know, are they just meeting? Are they just getting by? You know, in their body, in their expression. This is a real vibrant speaking thing. It's kind of, or do you have a sense that in some ways, what's happening is they're going to this other level of vibrancy. And when they speak, they kind of glow. There's a glow about this. There's an energy, right? So as this process occurred, and Donna had this, she had full facial Bell palsy, my first priority in the middle of being really shocked, and my teacher told me before she, my last conversation with Dr. Valerie Hunt, who was, in my estimation, one of the greatest. Well, she was a scientist, but she was just a discoverer of what made people incredibly healthy. She really understood what energy medicine was. She was profound. She just really impacted me. And she took me in her heart as soon as we met each other. And she, the last conversation we had, she said to me, you know, life shock, when someone gets shocked, it goes toward the more subtle into their body. So she said, Glenn, she says, freedom from life. It's funny, as she's telling this to me, I'm feeling the sense of life shock. But she says, Glenn, you got to free ourselves from life shock. So what happened is she, you know, when Donna would, so how I discovered she had Lyme disease, no one around the local medical community didn't have a clue. But I had talked to Dr. Stephen Bach. This goes to vibrant, you know, collaboration. I talked to Stephen Bach, and he just befriended me immediately. He gave me his cell phone and his home phone. And he told me, he says, you know, there's only a few things that could cause that. He goes, it's probably Lyme disease. He goes, immediately, he goes, I want you to do treatment. So that was the first sign from the divine. That was the first sign that, and this is, of course, this was out of my little town. No one in this town had said this. We'd been to the emergency room. We'd been to different doctors. So I knew immediately. And I was in touch with my heart about this. I felt it was a great calling. And I didn't feel this love for Donna as deep and as aware as I had it then. And so we proceeded to meet this very unusual infectious disease specialist. What was unusual about her was she would ask me, we'd had these incredible conversations. She was really curious. She was curious what I was learning. Because, of course, I decided to just dedicate myself to this thing that was happening. Now, I mentioned revisioning. So what is the principle of revisioning? Because this is real relevant. So when you're going through something, and this is a beautiful thing to do with your partner, by the way, is that we all have appearances and events that occur, and the revisioning is the ability to see it in a different way. And it could be very simple, you know, like, even in your day, but and a good time to practice this is in, if you're in a relationship, always together in the morning, in the evening. And you could put this under relational meditation practices, which include gazing and touching. And this will be covered in a new format, Vibrant Intimacy. So I began to, through a lot of shock, I began to sort of revision this in a different way. And little by little, I would meet people. I met people from all around the country. There's a clinic in Wisconsin. It's an anthroposophical clinic. And Dr. Steve Johnson. Now, I want to tell you the turning point. Steve Johnson was an anthroposophical doctor. He had recommended some remedies that he thought would help. They had a kind of anthroposophical medicine is kind of based on the development of the soul. So he trained as a medical doctor, but also had this education in anthroposophy. So I want to tell you guys about a conversation that was really profound in this, what I'll call vibrant collaboration. So vibrant collaboration is going beyond exchanging, bartering, or trading. It's actually the experience of new prosperity together. And it took me a long time to kind of discover this and really kind of get what this was. So I called this neurologist. I have an appointment with a neurologist in Portland. And I'm sort of asking for guidance because the whole world has changed around me. My wife went from, radiant well-being, really. She's very healthy. And then she could barely stand up. And then when she stood up, she was very labored. And I'm feeling this sense that my life is changing in ways I couldn't describe, I couldn't express. I feel really alone. And I feel, sort of out of touch with that vibrant pulse. And yet I know it's essential. So I called a neurologist, and he said something to me I wanted to share with you guys. And this is also part of the revisioning. So when you revision something, in some sense, I was thinking about this yesterday, your imagination is kind of like your lover. Like when you really love your imagination, your what I call your awakened imagination, little whispers, little things occur that you see and pay attention to that often our counterfeit, our noisy minds miss. So what happened was I had this appointment, and I felt this appointment was an appointment I was supposed to have, and I couldn't explain how the appointment occurred, but I knew I was supposed to speak to this guy. And this is going to get us into this film that I'm working on called The Announcement and more about revision. And by the way, any moment you guys could jump in. I want to make sure that I'm singing the song that has some vibrancy and that we're in this living wisdom moment, if you will. So I called the neurologist up. Oh, could you believe it? All right, we're gonna pause for a moment here. We're gonna talk about revisioning, talk about the movie, the film, The Announcement, which is really about the miracle of reunion. And I'm gonna share what the neurologist said. When we continue here on Vibrant Living, I'm Glenn Brooks and my beautiful team, my great team members, Ariel, Lisa, Nate.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. We're expanding our hours with some new, wonderful, new programs and inspirational speakers, along with Lisa LaRose, Nate Hughes, Ariel Bomberg. And I wanted to just share with you, and then I want to talk about this film, but I have this appointment with this neurologist, and he says to me something that really strikes me. He says, you know, when a person gets ill, their soul forces leave their body. This is a principle, you know, of our bodies. When we get ill, we get kind of bumped. We start to leave the body a little bit. And he said, Glenn, what you need to do is to find something that Donna absolutely loves so she can be in touch with the soul forces. So as he's saying this to me, I spoke to him about an hour and a half. I love these meetings, by the way. I love being profoundly interested in a world, the kind of that world within that world. I was so fascinated. He was a neurologist, and I was fascinated that he was practicing the soul medicine. So he says, Glenn, find something that Donna could really would wake her soul up. So as he says that to me, to my left, there was a catalog for Earth Shoes. Catalog on these Earth Shoes. I brought shoes laying in the background on a white sheet. So she's laying on a white sheet because you could see ticks on a white sheet. So I brought the Earth Shoe catalog to her, and I said, Donna, I said, please pick a pair of shoes. Because I knew she loved shoes. So she picks this red pair of Earth Shoes, and I called Earth Shoe up and told them I wanted to review these. They overnighted them to me. She had the shoes the next day. So it wasn't, you could say it wasn't the shoes, but it brought something forward. It brought like a new life energy together, right? It had a different, and I often sometimes play with people that was a significant turning point. So going beyond the appearance and event, and in terms of golden feedback, and this is a big part of the Vibrant Living Challenge, which I invite you to be part of. It's a wonderful experience, and you get to really be an exemplifier, and you feel a level of team and intimacy that is so deep and wondrous. So I invite you to be part of the Vibrant Living Challenge. I'll give you my contact. So the shoes came, and it really shifted her life. But then with some other, it was the next level of unfoldment. And on that level, I felt I was losing her, and we had the separation. And it took me about a year and a half to go through this. It was the most heartache that I ever felt. And it's funny because I experienced more love. I saw this deep level of why I was with her. I knew that I dedicated myself to her. And so what happened was I had a series of visions. I had a series of visions or dreams, or I call them soul seeings. And I started to see this film in conjunction with a book. The book is called Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. So the film, which we're going to kind of get into, I want to check with my Vibrant Living panel here, my Vibrant Living team member. I just want to stop because this is usually the Dr. Teshner segment, and Dr. Teshner is traveling, and we're going to continue the segment. We are going to have Rita next week, who's absolutely remarkable, and talking about how she transformed her brain, her soul, and her body to live a totally different life. And you guys are going to love Rita. We're also going to be doing a regular format together. So I want to stop right now before I go into the movie and this principle of revisioning. I want to see if any of you, something's bubbling, because I'm interested to see what's bubbling before I say anything more. I'm kind of pointing.
Yeah,
kind of like,
I think everything you're touching on is very powerful, at least for me. And maybe mm-hmm. some people have gone through it or will go through it, but there's definitely a point in relationships, not just romantic relationships, that we can fade from other people. And I think that there is a point where that fading is beneficial because we don't necessarily align spiritually, but there also are times when there are beneficial spiritual relationships that can wane a little bit too. And those definitely come from times and weaknesses in our life. And I had touched back to this last winter where I actually had come down with Lyme's disease myself. And Lyme's disease is a very insidious disease that creeps up on us and affects the neurological circuits in our bodies if we're not really aware of it. And that affected some of my relationships because I wasn't really there, and I could tell that I wasn't really there. Took an immense love for myself and some sun, not going to lie, and some sun, to come back to myself and really feel myself open back up. And when I came back, all of my close friends just looked at me and said, "My God, you're radiating again. You look like yourself. You look better than your old self," kind of thing. So I think that this really is a powerful thing that I don't hear spoken about very much, because it's almost heretical in the line of Buddhist thought to say that, you know, we're somebody different, or part of our energy leaves us when we're sick, because we're supposed to have this equanimous mindset no matter where we are. And even in the Stoic line of thought, right, we're supposed to be grateful wherever we are, with whatever is handed to us, and look at these things as gifts and be grateful for them because they challenge us. And I think we can toe that line and hold that mindset, but we have to be realistic at what's really happening in our bodies when that happens. And if we can do that, then we can finally move to the place where we bring that energy back into us. And I think that's really what you saw there, and really powerful.
Thank you. Ariel, did you get to speak?
I really agree and resonate with what Nate just said, and I was actually going to say something along the similar lines. You know, as many of you know, as Glenn has mentioned plenty of times on air, you know, I recently actually got married about 9 months ago in January, and, you know, my dating experience, you know, through, of course, is something that we experience in all relationships, but I think it really plays out the most profoundly in terms of dating and marriage. You know, as an Orthodox Jew, I adhere strongly to, you know, my line of spirituality is more in line with, you know, Kabbalistic teachings, and very similar to Buddhist thought. You know, we also are trained to be grateful for every opportunity that arises, whether it's good, and especially when it's not good, because the situations that to us aren't good are really from the highest level of good, which is not yet revealed. And kind of an example of what I saw in my own life was is through dating. Because, you know, as many of us know, when we date, we meet new people and we try to connect, find that right connection with the right one, you know, we go through lots of lopsided ups and downs and challenges and emotional, mental, and even physical struggles as well. And, you know, obviously for myself, it was no different. And what Kabbalistic teaching, what Kabbalah teaches is that, and it is especially so when you're trying to find your one, is that each person that you're dating and that you're meeting, each step of the way, it's not just something to be grateful for, which, of course, it's definitely true. There's no question about it. But each step is another step closer to finding the right one, and each person you meet helps to rectify yourself, the work on yourself, and to really improve yourself on all different levels, including spiritually, so that when you meet the right one, you're in the right frame of mind, body, and spiritual being in order to really become the vessel to receive, you know, that right person, and to really connect with that person on the best level possible. And I can definitely say that, you know, I can definitely see this in all relationships, business, personal, social, et cetera. But I think, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I definitely see this, you know, even more so when it comes to, you know, finding the love of your life and finding the one that you want to connect with for the rest of your life. It is something I've seen, you know, when I met my wife, it was something I was able to really process and really understand, you know, after going through years of, you know, dating and meeting people and, you know, traveling here and there in order to really, you know, find the right one for me.
I just want to say that one of my purposes is to end the world of dating. No more dating. That is really about relating. It's about relating, beyond dating to relating. So I wanted to share with you guys, I love what you said, Ariel and Nate, Lisa. I wanted to share this one thing. So part of what was happening was, when I felt this one world was falling away, I realized on some level, and this is sort of, I don't know, an aside thing, when I was like 11, I'm giving a chronological age to this, but I realized that I never quite understood or got even a little bit what divorce was. I just couldn't get it. I just remember, like, it waved through me, and I thought, how could it be that people love each other divorced? I remember having that awareness, that sort of unusual curiosity. So as this was happening, I through these kind of, I guess you could say, what I call soul seeings, I saw another way of being with this. And at some point I saw, because I would discuss what, not only would I would discuss this, people would call me, literally I would be selling a car, I'd be doing all these different things, and people would always ask me about their relationships. And I realized when I would get around people, I could feel and sense how they were together. And one day I was biking on the bike path, I was on the way to do a show, and I called my mentor, Dr. Norm Shirley. And I said, Norm, this whole thing, he was married 54 years. I just love Norm. And I said, Norm, it doesn't make sense to me that people try to get to know each other. It just doesn't make sense. I go, it just seems too finite. It seems like it's missing something deeper. It seems like recognition matters, that we meet someone, we're cultivating that recognition and this quality of unscripted love. And he said, yes. He goes, I met my wife. She was dating someone else. I had immediate recognition. And when we kind of connected, you know, it was almost immediate. But the thing is that, and you said it the other day, Nate, really well, that a lot of people, it's kind of like McDonald's. I said, well, you guys, I guess I might assume you, which is good. I'll get a lot of exposure. You kind of go in and out, you know. So dating is kind of this sort of it misses this deeper recognition. So when I saw this thing about vibrant matchmaking, you know, I thought, wow, this is sort of the next opening, the next thing. And then I saw, well, relational teams, and that as much you could say good, if you want to say good, that personal transformation has brought us, it's missed relational transformation. It's missed this depth of relationship and intimacy that it's almost like the language changed over the last 30 years. All of a sudden, there was a lot of stuff about independence. There was a lot more. We missed a lot of this relational piece. And by the way, the wonder of the feminine and the masculine. We missed how they came together and what was distinct and wondrous about them. So it was almost like, you know, this. And I'll say real quickly what the film was about. The announcement, you know, embodies the revisioning principle. And so from an awakened imagination thing, when I would go to sleep at night, imagery-wise, and I teach this, I work with my speakers on this, my body would actually move in different positions. Because I knew the character had to express the character. There's Diane Banks and Gordon Banks, and it's the story of how they come back together after they were married 27 years. They were separated 7 years, and it's the story of how they physically, how this takes us beyond what I call the thought virus of divorce, and shares this new love equation. Which, funny enough, I didn't know this at the time, but Dr. Sue Johnson, who will be with us. She's documented this scientifically. The Dalai Lama said something that always has stuck with me. He said, we need to look at the latest science on something. So the last 100 years, most of the beliefs and stuff we function on is based on that when there's a wounded attachment, we separate, right? You know, a person's terrible. You've got to divorce them. And what we've missed is that in relationship, we actually transform each other, and that by the way we see each other, we bring out these qualities. So this is a film. And I want to say when I travel, I talk to people about the film. They want to be in the film. They want to be part of the film. I'll be in the film. And I'm honored to say that Eric Morris will be my acting coach. I feel he's one of, he wrote a book called No More Acting, Please. So this is a film and story that's sort of the opposite of what we think about. It's a story of a couple that deepens their love and goes beyond the legal documentation. And it's also based on going beyond the local mind. How do we go beyond the evidence and the assumptions, not only of ourselves, but the culture around us, right? How do we? So I want to give you guys a context. So if you're interested in the Vibrant Living Challenge, if you want to make a film and you want to kind of share this inside journey with other people, and you want to like move your body and breathe differently, you want to be a vibrant speaker, inspirational speaker, and you want to be part of our one-of-a-kind Vibrant Living Network, you can call me directly at 413-345-3747. 413-345-3747. I'm going to go to Lisa, because Lisa, you didn't say anything in our last round, so I'm going to pass you the burning stick here.
You know, I've just listened to the wisdom from all of your perspectives, and you know, and I really think, you know, when you speak, Glenn, about, you know, going beyond dating to relating, I really think that it's just a commentary. even on social interactions in today's society. People have forgotten how to relate to each other and to really touch in and to see one another, I think. That's part of why I enjoy being part of this network, and, you know, always looking for the vibrancy, always looking towards seeing things in a new light, not just, really going beyond appearances. And I think that's what, you know, you do, you bring, and Ariel brings. You know, he looks at things from a completely unique perspective, as does Nate. And it's really, it's a gift to be able to see that way and to actually be an active participant in your own life and to connect with other people. And that's what we're really here for, is that connection and to really relate and to develop a quality of listening. You know, so often people are not in that space where they can quiet themselves and really honor what the other person is speaking from their heart. And they're already thinking of what they're saying, and they're missing the distinction. So here we are.
Thank you.
And another break. We'll join you soon.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nate, Ariel. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. And if you're moved to be an inspirational speaker, you move to own the stage and really connect with people. Be part of it. If you're called, give us a call. 413-345-3747. I want to honor Donna, Mike, and Alicia, and who they are means so much to me in my world. And much love to Patty, who I'm seeing on the tree right now as I leave the airways. Thank you all. And thank you, Chris, and for our wonderful partnership with Om Times Radio and all the wonderful people at Om Times. Be life precious, enjoy, and I'm Glenn Brooks. Thank you.